In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, October 12th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Not only did Hurricane Matthew kill almost 900 Haitians, but it left tens of thousands homeless in the poorest country in the hemisphere. One ministry, Samaritan's Purse, has 100 full-time staff on the ground, with an additional 25 having just flown in. The World View spoke with Chris Taves of Samaritan's Purse to get the latest update.
They're working in 4 different locations at the moment out on the Western Peninsula. They've been involved in assessments and distributions of plastic sheeting, food, and hygiene kits over the last couple of days. To date, we've helped 9,000 people, about 2,000 households. Hygiene kits include most of the things you would actually find in your bathroom on the counter, is things like soap, washcloths, women's hygiene products, toothpaste, toothbrushes, things that we often take for granted but are often lost in the aftermath of a hurricane like this one.
Taves revealed that cholera has now popped up in several places.
Cholera is a very serious disease, waterborne disease. It causes a lot of vomiting and diarrhea. You dehydrate. The only way that you can technically treat it is to help people get through the worst of it, giving IV fluid and helping to manage those symptoms until their body is strong enough to fight it off. We are getting reports from the Ministry of Health up and down the coastline that there are communities where they are finding 100 to 200 people with symptoms that look like cholera. We know that cholera is present in Haiti on the best of days. But when you have situations where people are now having to drink out of contaminated water sources and have had their hygiene practices disrupted, there's a very high likelihood that it will spike. And we know of various communities where those numbers are going up. And we're trying to get some cholera treatment units in place using many of our medical staff to intervene to help in that life-saving manner.
Samaritan's Purse has already sent 40 metric tons of relief supplies for the people of Haiti on 2 flights of their DC-8 aircraft. 3 more flights take off this week. Last Saturday, 800 pro-lifers attended the Pro-Life Campaign National Conference in Dublin, Ireland, urging the Irish government not to repeal the 8th Amendment to the Irish Constitution, which affirms the humanity of the unborn baby, reports Life News. Anne McElhaney spoke of her film, Gosnell, about convicted abortionist Dr. Kermit Gosnell, who admitted to snipping the spines of babies he killed in gruesome live birth abortions. Despite the fact that homosexual marriage is supported by 61% of Australians, the perverted twist on God's design has been delayed for at least 3 years in Australia after the Labour Party said yesterday that it would not support a national vote. The French government announced last month that it plans to ban pro-life websites found guilty of, quote, deliberately deceiving women, unquote, with the appearance of neutrality, reports World News Service. Under an amendment to the so-called Equality and Citizenship Law, owners of pro-life sites would face a $33,000 fine and 2 years in prison. The primary French pro-life website is IVG.net. which advertises a crisis line for women facing unexpected pregnancies, which says, you are pregnant and considering abortion? Don't be alone. The new law would lump pro-life sites in with pro-anorexia sites and pro-terrorism sites already banned by the French government. 4 Christian teenage girls have been arrested in an Ethiopian town after distributing Christian literature. According to World Watch Monitor, the 4 teens, Eden, 15, Gifty and Meheret, both 14, and Deborah, 18, were distributing a Christian book in Ethiopia's main language by a local author entitled Let's Speak the Truth in Love, Answers to Questions. Eden suffered a beating on her first night in prison. However, her faith was unshaken. Eden said, quote, this suffering is an honor for us. We should expect persecution. We are not afraid. We are singing and praying here in prison, unquote. Reminds us of a similar testimony found in Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Mark Armitage is a Bible-believing Christian who worked as a scientist at California State University, Northridge. Because he did not toe the evolutionary line, he was fired, reports Christian News. Armitage had discovered soft tissues on a large triceratops horn. Since evolutionists cannot account for the existence of soft tissues like the ones he discovered, his discovery caused quite a stir. He said one supervisor stormed into his lab, shouting, "We will not tolerate your religion in this department!" Now, 2 years later, after Armitage sued California State University, the school settled the lawsuit with a six-figure payout. Surprise, surprise. She went into Walmart to buy groceries, but came out with a newborn baby, reports the Provo Daily Herald. With a little help from Walmart employees and other customers, Terry Riley delivered her baby while in the checkout line. Mama and baby are doing well in the town 60 miles south of Salt Lake City, Utah. And that's the World View in 5 minutes. On this Wednesday, October 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2016, invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we homeschool our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. During the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. And I wrote a book on freedom in order to pass a legacy of freedom onto my children, that they would understand that the world at one time was free. There was some freedoms in the United States of America over a period of time, thanks to the heritage that our founders gave to us, much of which was rooted in a Christian world and life view. So I would like my children to have something of a concept of the 800-year heritage of freedom given to us by great Christian leaders in places like the Netherlands, Scotland, England, and America over a period of time. Now, other nations like China, the Soviet Union, Vietnam, etc., other places around the world have not enjoyed this level of freedom. Why? Because they do not share the Christian heritage, the rich Christian heritage that we enjoy. Now, if you consider freedom important, and I would encourage you to give them something, give your children, your grandchildren, something of a legacy of that freedom, pass on the story of freedom to your children and grandchildren, that they would not be left in gulags and prison camps indefinitely. So encourage your children to read the stories of freedom. And that's why I wrote the book Freedom, available at our website, generations.org. Now, here's an instance in which our freedom is slowly eking away. There's a lot of instances in which this has happened over the last 50 to 60 years. Of course, the government take of our income has increased from roughly 8% at the turn of the 20th century to closer to 50%, arguably 55, 56% now. And the control of medical care is almost total in this country. The control of education is almost complete and so forth. So we can give you lots of instances in which government has crept in and controlled every aspect of education and business and our various institutions. The family is far more controlled now than it was even 50 years ago. Well, now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the federal government and privacy laws. I think we're increasingly losing our privacy, Bill. Here's an article from the New American quoting the Observer, and that's a British informative newspaper that I think is helpful. The Guardian, I think, also has some great articles that we pull off from time to time as well. But here they speak of our own federal government, the United States, and apparently the federal government can read every email of every American without leaving any trace, according to this article. Not only is the federal government able to read every email ever sent by every American, regardless of any reasonable belief that the target has committed any crime, they have these decisions upheld by secret courts where the owner of the emails has no right to question the accusers. Now, how did the federal government get this power? They were given it by federal judges who allowed the government to define premises in a clever, crafty, and contemptuous way. An application by a federal law enforcement officer or an attorney for the government requests, this is the way it goes, this is the way the cases are written, requests the search of the following property located in the Western District of Washington, the premises known and described as the email account which is controlled by Microsoft Corporation. So the point is that they take our emails and they say the email is not our property. It's not our private effects. It's not our private papers, as would be guaranteed by the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But it is the property of the server.
And then,
or
what
is the property of Microsoft?
And this is based on the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, which was passed in 1986. And so it's the use of that particular act. And what they do then is they ask that the warrant be sealed. So they issue a warrant to the company to read the emails of an individual. Then they ask that the warrant be sealed so that then they also put a gag order on it, which means that the company can't inform you, the server can't inform you that your emails, both the ones you've sent and received, have been read by the federal government. So this means that they can look at anything they want to, anytime they want to, and you don't know it.
And they don't have to specify a particular email. And,
right.
And here's why. Here's why. To get away with this, according to the article in The Observer, it tells judges that incriminating emails are hard to find, maybe even hidden with misleading names, dates, and file attachments. So their computer forensic experts need access to the whole database to work their magic.
Now,
so that's the way they get access to everybody's email, because they have to do searches of the entire base. So that exempts them from the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which reads, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Does that particularity is pretty much lost when the entire database is the thing to be seized.
Yeah.
So that's the point made in this article. And therefore, this is how the lawyer who wrote this article, Joe Wolverton, concludes this article in The New American. He says that federal agents can secretly read every single email of every single American. That's the conclusion, my friends. That is, privacy hardly exists anymore in America, especially if you use electronic forms. But it's not just that. It's cameras on every street corner. And as you know, Bill, Big Brother is watching. Big Brother is watching. Big Brother is watching every move you make,
several,
every breath you take.
Several years ago, back in the 90s, I went over to Romania on a missions trip. And it was just after Ceausescu, the dictator, had been deposed.
Yeah.
And so we stayed in a home, in an apartment. And we were told not to use the telephone because the telephones were bugged. Every telephone in every house was produced by the government, and therefore it had an electronic bug in it. And so you did not use the phones. You didn't speak. If you wanted to speak about things that, you know, you weren't sure the government would approve, you would step outside. And so this is no different than that. And I find it reprehensible, but, you know, it's... I have a friend who's in the intelligence branch of the service, one of the branches, and he came home and he told his mother, he said, Mom, I can't tell you what I do. He said, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm getting rid of my smartphone. Now, that's a bit disconcerting. So, you know, we think of the old communist, you know, dictatorship and how they would eavesdrop on everybody. But it's not much different now. But we do it in the name of security.
That's right. We get the government we deserve. Americans are on their knees begging for this, my friends. Americans are on their knees begging for big government, and have been for about 100 years. But why? Why do they love it?
Because we want security. We want security. But if in the name of liberty, you beg for security, you'll get neither.
That's right. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the worldview foundations. People will always act the way that they believe, and they'll act according to their worldview perspective. And why do Americans beg for big government? Why do they love it with everything in them? We'll tell you that in just a moment on The Generations Broadcast.
Have you ever found yourself asking questions like, what am I supposed to do with my life? How do I know what God's will is for me? How will I find good opportunities and be successful in life? And what is success anyway? My name is Daniel Craig. I'm a homeschool graduate, and I've asked all those same questions myself. As I was transitioning into life beyond homeschooling, I didn't fully understand God's calling on my life or how to prepare for that calling. I wasn't opposed to going to college, but I knew I also needed godly mentorship and real-life application to prepare for life ahead. And that's why I helped create the Kickstart program, an in-depth training program designed to help other students launch into life now with clear vision through one-on-one mentoring relationships and real-life application. With a clear, step-by-step approach, the 29 Kickstart video training sessions and companion guide walks students through the process of first defining vision and goals for their lives, then finding and engaging with mentors in their community who can help them move toward those goals. So if you're not sure how to prepare for life, you can either spend $72,000 on a college education, or you can first spend $129 on a program which provides cutting-edge guidance through a proven process of life preparation that works. Now, if that sounds like a deal to you, I encourage you, get Kickstart today at generations.org.
We're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, and Bill Jack from Worldview Academy joining us on this edition of the program as we talk about the Worldview Foundations for Americans embracing total tyranny and Big Brother in simply every single home, every single computer, every single place of business. The government will control everything if Americans get their way. Why? Because Americans like big government tyranny. They're on their knees begging for it. And even when it comes to violating Christian liberty, religious liberties, the question was asked by Pew Research, should the courts persecute Christian businesses for refusing to celebrate homosexual weddings? They maybe didn't quite put it that way, but should they enforce Christian businesses to participate in homosexual weddings by providing goods and services to the homosexual wedding? About half of Americans say yes. 49% said Christian businesses should be forced to accommodate homosexual weddings. 48% said they should not. By the way, 51% are in agreement with the Obama administration that they enforce transgender bathrooms in every K-6 school across America. 51%. 51%. Wow. It's a majority of Americans are on board with the judicial branch. We used to think the judicial branches were a little bit more edgy, a little bit more tending to opposing righteousness and justice. But it appears that the populace in America is head over heels in love with more tyranny. That is more control of private business. That is, you force those businesses. You force those Christians to act against their consciences. You do everything you possibly can. You put them in jail. You fine them $135,000 for not baking a cake for a homosexual wedding. This is where Americans are today. Americans like tyranny. Americans would vote for Adolf Hitler in a heartbeat. Americans would vote for Joseph Stalin in a heartbeat because Americans worship the state. Americans are statists. Americans have turned the state into a god and they worship the state. My friends, this boils down to a worldview issue. It's the sovereignty of God versus the sovereignty of the state. And Americans have been trained in humanist schools for a very long time that man is the source of his own truth, his own ethics. And ultimately, it's man's representative in the state that will be the corporate representative of God on earth. The state is God on earth in the minds of the average Americans. And I think it does tie into security. The Word of God says we ought not to trust in princes or in horses in whom there is no help, but we are to trust the Lord our God. This is Psalm 146. But Americans, my friends, they find their security in the state. They find their trust in the state. They've been trained since Franklin Delano Roosevelt brought Social Security to America to trust in the state for their Social Security. And my friends, as long as they trust in the state for their food, for their health care, for their Social Security, of course they consider the state to be God on earth. That's where their ultimate trust relies. Now, that's not everybody, of course. I'm not saying that's every American. I'm just saying this is the direction of the nation as a whole, as a general population. Americans trust in the state. Yes, they trust in princes. And yes, they trust in the socialist state, even when the socialist state runs out of everybody else's money, which will happen. So the Word of God tells us in no uncertain terms, whatever you do, do not trust in princes in whom there is no help. No help. Zero help. Absolutely no help. There's no help in the state. There's no help in princes. There's only help to be found in God, who has absolute control over all of the agricultural systems, the economic systems, the weather patterns, and all the rest. God is the ultimate source of control, over sovereign control over the entire world. And yet our people do not acknowledge that these days. No, no, no. They trust in the state. They're state worshipers. They're idolaters. That's America. And that's why they're moving increasingly towards the total state.
You know, I find it sad as well that even Christian churches, many Christian churches have gone this direction, because what they're saying to the state is, you can do what you want to Christian businesses. You can enforce transgendered bathrooms on public schools. Just don't come to our door and force it. So we want to have an exemption. We really don't stand for liberty anymore. We've become just another special interest group, as I've said on this program before. And yet, what we have to realize is that churches need to wake up, because if 51% say that the government should enforce transgendered bathrooms, then what happens if you have the exemption as a church and yet you put on, say, for example, a harvest festival mm-hmm. open to the public? Mm-hmm. And then the transgender comes in and says, I want to use whatever bathroom I wish. And the church says, no, we don't allow that. Well, this is not a church function. This is open to the public. The state will come in. The Civil Rights Commission will come in and file a claim of discrimination against the church, regardless of the exemption, because the exemption only applies to religious activities, and the fall festival is a secular activity.
And technically, though, every service is open to the public, so there will be a point at which
that's right.
the churches will be forced to incorporate transgenders and, of course, homosexuals into their congregations, and they will be put in prison, as pastors and elders will be put in prison for the way that they handle the sin of homosexuality in those churches. But that's all because the church is backed off, and the church is no longer effective at discipling this nation in whatsoever Jesus has commanded. The church does not teach the laws of God. There's a lot of problems, of course, with the church. But ultimately, I think the sin in the church and the sin across this country is a sin of idolatry and state worship. There's a reason why the Obama administration is enforcing transgender laws in every K-6 school around America. And that is, my friends, because of the centralization of control in the federal government, the increase of government funding of K-12 schools. And this has happened, my friends, since 1970. But, you know, the Department of Education's money has only doubled from 1970 to 2000. Under George W. Bush's administration, over 8 years, the department's budget almost tripled. So it doubled over 30 years. It doubled over 30 years, but it tripled in just 8 years of budgets provided by George W. Bush. And so, of course, the centralization of power in the Department of Education, creating a more secure educational program for the nation, was done by a Republican George W. Bush in order that it would be perverted by the next generation, by the next administration, in order that it would be perverted by the Obama administration, and he would transgender the bathrooms. Now, why would he transgender the bathrooms? Because he has power to do so. And how did he get the power to do so? Because the budget of the Department of Education tripled over 8 years, and these school districts are receiving funds, federal funds, through the centralization of power and money in Washington in the Department of Education. So as the Department of Education provides more funds to the local school districts, the local school districts are more beholden to the federal government, and the federal government threatens to withhold funding if these local school districts do not receive the regulations from the federal government that are imposed upon them. And so what happens again and again is the Republicans will increase the size of governments, and the next administration of Democrats pervert it. The Republicans increase the budgets, and actually Barack Obama has not increased, but he's rather actually decreased the Federal Department of Education's budget ever so slightly. But it was George W. Bush that increased it and tripled the size of the Department of Education in order that the federal government might obtain even more control over the K-6 schools and 60 million little children across this country in order to pervert them in the next administration by Obama's transgender mandate he's imposing upon the school districts. And again, he's using Title IX money and Title IX restrictions to bring this about. Okay, friends, well, that's the way it works. But again, the worldview is one in which Republicans and Democrats are attempting to turn the state into something sovereign. The reason they increase the size of the government, there's a worldview reason behind it. There's a reason why George W. Bush and his Republican administration increased the size of the Department of Education threefold between 2000 and 2008. You say, why did he do that? What was the worldview that he believed in, his administration stood for, in order to bring that about? My friends, it was an attempt to turn the state into something even more sovereign, even more centrist. Republicans will violate the Fourth Amendment to find criminals and terrorists. Democrats will do it to find Christians and conservatives and put them through more IRS audits. That's the difference. You get it? Republicans will create the ultimate state in which the state, Big Brother, is looking everywhere for terrorists and criminals in order to create absolute security on earth for their constituents. The Democrats will do it to find the Christians and conservatives and put them through more IRS audits, or maybe even arrest them and throw them into prison.
And
well, either way, the Republicans and Democrats are both attempting to turn the state into something more sovereign for their own purposes.
Yeah, and it happens on the local level. You know, we're thinking, oh, big picture, that's not going to happen here. But as you know, I teach down at our Worldview Bridgier program down in Canyon City, and as part of our program, we take our students out every other week to the local high school and park that's right across the street, and have them share their faith with high school students. Well, this week we took our students out, and across the street on the school side of the street was a uniformed police officer. So I thought, okay, I'll go over and see what his response is. So I just walked over and stood on the sidewalk, and I was just standing there. And he came over and he engaged me in conversation. He said, "Are you looking for somebody in particular? Are you waiting for somebody?" Which is what his job is, and he did it well. And I said, "No, I'm with this group of students, and we're out talking to people about their faith. We're sharing our faith in Christ." And he said, "These kids need this." And he said, "I went to the local ministerial alliance and I asked them for help. I said, we need help out here." I said, "Well, wow." I said, "That's great." I said, "Did you get anybody?" He said, "Well," he said, "the Methodists come out and pass out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches once a week." I said, "So you didn't get any help?" He said, "No." He said, "But these kids need this." Because he said, it's a spiritual battle. And so what we've got to do, we can't retreat inside our church walls. We have to go out and proclaim truth and grace in the culture. We have to advance on the culture, not retreat and say, we want an exemption. We want a RFRA, a Religious Freedom Exemption Act. We want our own little ghettos. No, we have to be engaged in every aspect of culture with truth and grace, because that's what a worldview does. A worldview informs every aspect of one's life.
We need to continue discipling the nations. We just need to engage the project, my friends. Wherever people will listen, wherever we can call the nations to repentance and to see the relevance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came to this world to save us from our sins and to bring us to righteousness and to disciple the nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever he has commanded in his word. This is the project. Stay on the project. And I'm afraid the church is not that good at doing this, Bill. I'm giving you one last example. I'm not going to spend much time on this because we mentioned this before. But, you know, the Justice Michael Joyner, who is a member and a teacher of a local Southern Baptist church in Alabama, was the justice who wrote the opinion that suspended Judge Roy Moore in Alabama. So again, it was a Christian attending a Southern Baptist church and an active member, I believe an elder and a teacher in the Southern Baptist church in Alabama. Justice Michael Joyner wrote the opinion that brought about the suspension of Roy Moore for the second time And by the way, Justice Michael Joyner was also the man who was instrumental in striking down the state's law criminalizing sodomy. He was important chief judge of the Alabama Court of the Judiciary who accomplished that task as well. Again,
this is another example.
This is just the opposite of discipling the nations. This is just the opposite of doing the things that Jesus has commanded. Why? Because the church has not been doing this for a long time. The church has been bringing about some kind of giving your heart to Jesus moment. But in terms of applying the word of God and bringing about repentance and true faith and obedience to the commands of Jesus, this is not the business of the evangelical church across America and hasn't been for a very long time. But my encouragement, my friends, is to engage the discipleship of the nation, which usually happens in small groups, usually happens through evangelistic outreaches, as Bill Jack has been talking about here. But ultimately, it's long term. It involves a number of years and usually hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of one-on-one time with one or two people at a time. So we got to get back to discipling the nations and the things that Jesus has commanded. And that involves the reconstruction of the biblical family, the reconstruction of the biblical church, the reconstruction of biblical society, the reconstruction of biblical business and how we do business. There's a lot to be done in the discipleship of the nations, especially if you're going to teach them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded, starting with the Sermon on the Mount and then working out into every aspect of the Word of God. Well, my friends, that's the task, and we wanted to bring you back to task on this edition of the Generations broadcast. If you'd like a little bit more on freedom and the role of the civil magistrate in terms of applying the Christian principles, grab a copy of my book, Freedom. Love to get a copy of my book, Freedom, for Justice Michael Joyner and all of the other justices who unanimously slapped down Judge Roy Moore and prevented him from standing in any way whatsoever on the laws of God as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, certainly in opposing the false law that was presented by the Supreme Court of the United States just last year. Well, let's be sure we understand the biblical principles relating to the civil magistrate. These are critical moments in the history of this country, and if we're going to pass on anything of a legacy of freedom to our children, we've got to bring it from the Word of God and, of course, from the legacy of history. And you'll get that in my book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.